بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in the treatise of عبد الله الواديعية حفظها الله تعالى. Nasihati lil-Nisa. Our studies continue in the chapter the author she has mentioned, min afat al-lisan, from the ills of the tongue. In our previous class, we have completed the chapter the author she has mentioned with regards to al-kadhib, lying and being dishonest. The author now begins the chapter she has entitled ifsha'u asir, spreading secrets, spreading the secrets. But before we begin this new chapter, spreading the secrets, it is very beneficial to complete the discussion with some of the affairs that are related to Al-Kadhib, the previous chapter. And what has preceded, and the author has mentioned with many evidences from the book and from the sunnah, that lying and kadhib, it is a great sin, and it is prohibited, and it is haram. And likewise, it's from the major sins. And the person who lies, he's threatened with the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's also threatened with the fire. And has proceeded likewise that lying is from those most specific traits of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites. And we have seen, the author, she mentioned some of the different forms of lying. All of this has proceeded, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. But there are some issues that are important to be aware of and to know them with regards to lying. And that is some of the instances that the ulama have mentioned when it is permissible to lie. When it is permissible to lie. يعني ما يباح من الكذب. يعني when would it be permissible to lie? So there are a few exceptions that have been clarified by the ulama with regards to lying. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned this in some narrations, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will read from some of them. But it must be known and must be clear that similar like backbiting, that there are instances whenever it will be permissible or even it could be an obligation, and it would not be considered the backbiting that is haram. And we have seen the issues related to that. Likewise, with regards to lying, there are a few instances that are an exception to this rule. Whenever it is permissible or allowed for a person to lie, even it could be an obligation, yani for them to say something that is not true. And at this time, the person will not be considered a liar legislatively. This person at this time will not be considered a liar legislatively. Yani in these particular instances, not in every case, of course, the origin is that lying is haram and from the major sins, and there's a threat of the punishment and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal for those people who lie. But there are some instances whenever it will be permissible, and also rather there are some instances when it will be obligatory. When it will be obligatory. So the ulama, they have mentioned with regards to this, for example, if there was an evil individual, an oppressor, someone who is seeking to harm an individual, he's seeking, for example, he is chasing after an individual and he has declared that he wants to kill him. There is an oppressor, an evil or a wicked individual, and he is chasing after an innocent person. Chasing after him, and he is attempting to murder him. Then if that person who is fleeing and running, he takes refuge with somebody and he hides in their home or the likes like this, and then that person, that oppressor who is coming to search for that individual, if he comes to the home of that person, he says, is so-and-so here? Then it's permissible at this time, rather it's an obligation to say, no, so-and-so, he's not here. to protect the life of that person. And this will be by lying to detour that oppressor away from him, so he is not able to murder that individual. So at this time, this is an instant for him to say, even though maybe he's right there in the home, said, no, he's not here. No, I haven't seen him. He's not around. At this time, it's permissible to lie, and that individual, he's not held accountable for lying, and this is something that is praiseworthy, whether this is an obligation for him to protect the life of that innocent individual, especially if he's a Muslim, especially if it is the soul of a Muslim. Likewise, some other instances, whenever this would not be considered lying, the ulama, they mention, is, for example, if somebody has been entrusted with some wealth. Somebody has been entrusted with the wealth of another individual, or the property, or the valuables of another individual, and then an oppressor is coming, and he is wanting to rob and to steal that person's property. And then he will say, isn't that so-and-so's belongings? Isn't that so-and-so's watch? And he knows that he's hoping, or that person is intending to steal it. If it's so-and-so's watch, he's going to steal it. Then, and he's going to take it unrightfully. Then he will say, no, that's my brother's watch, for example. Or that's somebody else's watch. Like this, and he would say, no, that is not his watch, in order to protect that person's property. This is also likewise permissible. Or if somebody wanted to harm another person in his property, wanted to harm him, he had a dispute with him, and now that person is going to oppress him by violating his property. And so he would say, isn't that, he wants to, for example, damage something from that property, or from his property. He wants to harm the person or in any way that he can. So then maybe he will say, isn't that so-and-so's car? And maybe it's parked in front of somebody's house or something. And then somebody knows that it's his car. But he'll say, no, that's not his car. Or he'll say, no. You've mistaken. In this matter, like this, in order, he would tell a lie, but in order to protect the property of that individual from this oppressor, this circumstance here in this situation, this is permissible. So if a person is trying to kill an individual, or to harm him, or to steal his property or his possessions, or to violate his rights in any way, in order to protect that person, an individual, it's permissible for him to lie. Rather, it could be obligatory in this circumstance, and would not be considered the lying that is blameworthy, and the lying that leads to the hellfire, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that which has preceded it, to beware of lying and to stay away from lying, because it leads to corruption, and corruption leads to the hellfire. This is excluded from that text, and this with this particular understanding, and in this particular situation. So from the evidences that support this, the ulama, they have mentioned what has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his authentic book, collections of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chapter entitled, Babun Laysa Al-Kadhibu Al-Ladhi Yuslihu Bayn al-Nas. This is the chapter Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he has entitled, the one who rectifies between the people and brings reconciliation, he's not considered a liar. Then Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned his narration, his chain of narration to Umm Kulthum bint Uqba, radiyallahu anha. She says, سمعتُ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. She heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس فينمي خيرا أو يقول خيراً. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one who rectifies and brings reconciliation from the people, he's not considered a liar. يعني ليس الكذاب يعني المعهود شرعاً, the one who's considered a liar, يعني which is known by the legislation, he's not considered a liar, the one who rectifies between the people, and so he brings about some good, or he says a statement that is good. So this is from those evidences that the ulama have mentioned, that it's permissible in certain circumstances to lie. And because the benefit of bringing reconciliation and rectification between two parties, especially two parties of Muslims, then this is a great, great benefit. And so to lie, to bring them together in this situation, is to bring about the benefit is greater than the harm of lying. It's greater than the harm of lying. Likewise, this same narration has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim. By Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala. And it's the same wording. But after the wording of the hadith, Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the statement of Ibn Shihab. Ibn Shihab, Muhammad Ibn Muslim Ibn Shihab, Al-Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 124. From those great narrators of hadith and from the ulama of Ahl Sunnah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned after this narration, he said, وَلَمْ أَسْمَعْ يُرَخَّصُ فِي شَيْءٍ مِمَّا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ كَذِبٌ إِلَّا فِي ثَلَاثٍ, that I have not heard that it's permissible or there has been an exception or a license made for anything that the people consider lying except for in three affairs. And then he says, rahimahullah, الْحَرْبُ وَالْإِصْلَاحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَحَدِيثُ الرَّجُلِ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَحَدِيثُ الْمَرْأَةِ زَوْجَهَا. He said, except for in three affairs, I have not heard any situation whenever there is a license or an exception making it permissible to say something that the people consider a lie except for in three affairs, meaning there's an exception in three affairs that he's aware of. Rahimahullah, al-harbu, yani in war, in times of war. What islahu bayn al-nas, and to bring rectification and reconciliation between the people. Wa hadithu rajuli imra'atahu, and whenever a man he speaks to his wife. Wa hadithu imra'ati zawjaha, and whenever a woman speaks to her husband, and whenever a woman speaks to her husband. Now, so these are the affairs that have been made an exception. The ulama, they have spoken about these narrations and about this narration specifically, and they have differed into two positions with regards to the affair of the permissibility of lying. And some of the ulama, they have the position that it's permissible in these circumstances and in similar circumstances like this, that it's permissible to lie, yani absolutely like this, that he could lie directly. If somebody in a situation like this, in war, or in bringing rectification between two people, or the man to his wife, or the wife to her husband, and they also, the people, the ulama who have this position here, that it's permissible, absolutely, yani mutlaqan, hakadha, then likewise they mention that these examples here are just these situations here are just examples. So every other situation that is similar like this, whenever there is danger or whenever the maslaha it takes precedence, then it's permissible. And this is from the opinions of some of the ulama. So then, for example, if somebody wanted to bring rectification between two people, he would say, you know, he would go to one person and he would say to him, you know, so-and-so that you had a falling out with, you know, he's repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal and he wants to make rectification. And I heard him talking good about you. Like this, and the person, he did not hear him talking good about him, and he does, and that person does not want to make rectification, but he will say that to the other individual, and then he will go to the other individual likewise, and he will say the same thing about the other person. You know, I just spoke with so and so, and that you had a falling out with, and you know, he asked for forgiveness from you, and he apologizes, and he wants to rectify the situation in order to hopefully bring about some reconciliation between the two. So based upon that first opinion, that this would be permissible. This would be permissible like this, to absolutely lie without any way out from lying. Yani to directly lie. The other opinion of the ulama with regards to the issue of the permissibility of lying in these circumstances, yani not in general, but only in these circumstances, yani only in these specific circumstances. And they have agreed about the circumstance I mentioned about the one who is an oppressor, and the one who is trying to kill an innocent individual or to harm him or take his wealth, that it's permissible to lie at that time. But they differed about how that lie would be. So the first group, they say, that, like I had mentioned before, no, he's not here. And they lie directly. But the other opinion is that it's not permissible to lie no matter what. It's not permissible to lie, no matter what. No matter what the circumstances is, it's not permissible to lie. And they have understood this narration here, and the intent from this narration, that laysa al-kadhabu alladhi yuslihu bayna an-nas. And also that understanding of what Ibn Shihab had mentioned, the permissibility of lying in the time of harb and in the time of islah bayna an-nas. And likewise, ar-rajulu limra'atihi wal-mar'atu li zawjiha. That what is understood here from the word lying is not directly lying, but rather what is being referred to is something that the ulama have mentioned. It is called al-ma'arid. Al-ma'arid. Tawriya. And yuwarri. And yuwarri. Yani al-tawriya. Aw al-ta'arid. Also known as ma'arid. And this is a situation whenever a person, he will mention a word or a statement, or he will express himself in a manner that it could have more than one meaning. One meaning is directly understood from the speech, and there's another meaning that is further away that normally would not be thought of or understood. So then the person who is making that statement, he will say that statement that carries these two meanings, and he will intend for the listener to understand from him that general meaning which is understood from the statement. But in his intention, he has intended another meaning, which the statement also carries, but it's further away and is generally not thought about in that manner. But with regards to him and his intention in his statement, then he's not a liar and he's not lying. But as for according to what the person has understood, then maybe he could be considered contrary to that which is the reality. Contrary to that which is the reality. I mean, he will say something, and in his statement, the listener will understand from him one issue, but in his intention, he has intended something else. He has intended something else. Similar like this is what Ibrahim, he did, alayhi salatu wassalam, whenever the wicked ruler had tried to take his wife, if it had been his wife, and he said, whenever he said, is this your wife, speaking about Sarah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, la innaha ukhti, no, she's my sister. So the person listening would hear, thinking that that's his sister, meaning his blood sister. But what did he intend? Alayhi salatu wassalam. He intended that's his sister in Islam. That's his sister in Islam. So according to his attention, he's not lying. He's not lying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman. He's not lying, but what he intended is correct. She's his sister in Islam. But what is understood from that speech by the listener is that that's his blood sister. So in this situation that they're in this dangerous situation, now it's permissible to do the likes of this. As for tawriya wal ma'arid, to use them all the time without any need or necessity and to deceive the people, then this is not praiseworthy, rather this is blameworthy. But what is being referred to here and the second opinion of the ulama and many of the scholars, they mentioned that this is the best opinion and this is safest, that a person, even in the time of this difficulty or in the time of war or in the time of rectifying between two parties of people or two individuals or even the man to his wife or the wife to her husband, that it would never be permissible to blatantly lie. And this position is the safest position, and Allah knows best. And this is what An-Nawawi, he has encouraged and mentioned likewise, and also Shaykh Uthaymeen, and other than them from the ulama, rahimahum Allah ta'ala, that it's better. And أحوط للمسلم أن يوري ولا يكذب لا يكذب يعني صراحة, that he would not lie, but rather he would make the tawriya, and he would make the ma'arid, and he would say this word that has more than one meaning and is understood like this in order to get out of this desperate situation, in order to get out of this hard situation and to bring about the good that he's hoping to bring about. So for example, barakallahu fikum, if an individual, he hopes to rectify between two people, that's the narration here is referring directly to that. ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس فينمي خيرا أو يقول Khayran, that the one who rectifies between the people and brings reconciliation amongst the people, he's not a liar. He brings about good, or he says a good statement. Yani on the second opinion of the ulama, which is the one that is the best opinion, and Allah knows best, that is closer and more safe for a believer to stay away from that which is haram and impermissible, to stay away from that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it would be permissible for him to lie, but it's not considered a true lie here. Yani the lying here is not considered a true lie. Yani meaning that he would go to the individual and he would say to him, yeah, so-and-so, you know, so-and-so, fulan yuthni alayka. Fulan, wallahi ya akhi, fulan, so-and-so, the one you had a falling out with, yuthni alayka. Because athana, it means good and means bad. So there, some person, if he said yuthni, who yuthni alayka, yani he thinks you're talking about good, but really yuthni alayka sharran. So this is, this word could be used in this manner, and somebody could say, yani fulan yuthni alayka khayran. Oh, he could say about you, yuthni alayka sharran. And this word, it contains both meanings. Or another way, yani, even if a person didn't use the Arabic language, yani, this is one of the ways the ulama, they mention. Likewise, for example, he could say, you know, so-and-so is making dua for you every day, brother. Why don't you go try to rectify your situation with him? Don't you know, wallahi, I swear by Allah, so-and-so, the one you had the falling out with, he makes dua for you every day. Every day. But he's not lying. The person, he thinks he's making dua for him by his name every day. But in reality, he knows that that person he's speaking of or referring to, he's a Muslim. And in his tashahud, what does he say? Well, he sends the salutations upon the Muslims. Whenever, wa ibadika as-salihin. Wa ibadihi as-salihin. Yani whenever he sends the salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he says, wa ibadika wa ibadihi as-salihin, and also upon his righteous servants. So that supplication includes every Muslim in general. So then a person, he would say it like this, you know, so and so he's making dua for you every day. He's referring to the supplication that he makes in tashahud. And the tashahud, he make dua for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the Muslims. So this individual, he's included there. So this is the safe meaning, and this is the meaning of it, tawriyah, and the meaning of the ma'arid, or an yu'arid bihi, or ta'arid. And that means that, you know, he will say one word, but he intends another, and the person who is listening doesn't understand what he has intended, rather he understands a different meaning. And this is to bring about the maslaha. Likewise, the permissibility of lying in war, even in whatever the circumstances may be, yani, that means that, for example, the one would say to the enemy, you know, our troops are many, or we're going to have much provision tomorrow. Our support and provision is coming tomorrow, and he's just talking about his food that's coming. He's not referring to the military aid and support, he's just talking about the food that's coming. Like this, but he's saying that to scare the enemy. And the likes like this, or also from the means, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-harbu khad'a, that the war, it is deception. But likewise, this has to be understood, yani the meaning that it's permissible to lie, even then in war, even then in the times of war, even the ulama, they mention not directly, and also they mention that so long as it doesn't contain the invalidation of a contract, or this tawriya, or even if those who mention that it's permissible to lie, this would not mean that it's permissible to invalidate a contract, or to betray them. For example, if somebody's made a condition and said, okay, well, we won't fight you today on this special day or at this special time, and then after that, whenever they put their weapons down, they fight them. La, this is not permissible. And say, oh, well, the Prophet said it's permissible to lie in war. La, la, this has broken a contract here. This is not permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not ghadir. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he never broke the contracts, even whenever they were not in his advantage. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kept his oath and his promise and his word, and he never invalidated the contracts, and he never betrayed his oath. and the likes like this, or to say, for example, that if you surrender, we will let your families go, and then they surrender, and then they take their families. For example, this is not permissible. And this understanding here, well, they would say, oh, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, or it's been mentioned in the text, it's permissible to lie in war. That's not what is intended. That's not what is intended. It's not permissible, not even in wartime, to invalidate a contract or to betray the one's oath and the honor and the promise. This is not what is intended. But rather, from the means of lying in war has been established, and the understanding of that statement of the Prophet, al-harbu khad'a, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that war is deception. In reality, we see in his sirah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he kana yuwarri, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he mentioned that harb is deception. But how did he use deception? He would make this tawriyah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that would be that if it's time for him to go out on an excursion for battle, he would, for example, if his destination and the people he's going to fight and to come to bring the battle to them, and he's going to go to their land, if they're in the north, he would leave from the south, and he would travel south for some ways until he got away from the people, and then he would change directions, and then he would come north. And if the people that he was going to were in the east, then he would leave out from the west, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his enemies would, in Medina, they think, they're going to the west. Oh yeah, they're going to the west. And then come to find out, they would travel for some time, and then whenever they were safe away from the eyes of the enemies, they would turn another direction, and then they would head into the direction they had intended. This is what is meant by the al-harbu khad'a and the likes like this. Also, for example, the ulama have mentioned whenever it's permissible to use this lie or this deception in times of war. For example, if the Muslims are being overcome and it's beneficial for them to retreat, they pretend, they make it apparent that they're retreating. Or if they're, like, for example, around some fortresses of the enemy, and the enemy, they're inside, and they won't come out, and they're not able to get inside, and they're defending their fortresses very well, they will retreat, but not to leave, but they make it appear that they're gathering their weapons and leaving. And then as soon as they come out of their homes, they raid them. And this is permissible. This is permissible. This is the type of khad'ah that is something that is allowed in the deen. And the likes like this. So this is what is being referred to here. Whenever it's permissible to lie in war, not blatantly in this manner, but and especially not invalidating contracts and treaties that one has, treatises that they have with the enemy. This is not permissible, nor is it intended. And the religion of Islam is a religion of honesty and fulfilling oaths and contracts and covenants. Now, also, what the ulama have mentioned with regards to the man and the woman, that it's permissible. That means likewise that, for example, if they have a falling out, it's permissible for the man to say something to the wife, or for the wife to say something to the husband, and in order to keep their hearts together, in order to remove the evil that is going on between them, and the likes like this, and for him to say, like the ulama, they mentioned that, I love you very much, or you are the most beloved person to me, or for her to say the likes like that, in order to bring rectification to their home and to save their house, or for the man to say, mashallah, the food is delicious and he does not like it, or the likes like this, or so on and so forth. That this is something that is permissible, but the best way to do that is to do it in a manner when he will not be actually lying, or that he will say something in a manner that will, with his intention, he's not lying, but he's making it apparent like this, and likewise the woman. But the ulama likewise, they clarify with this issue here, the permissibility of making this tawriya or the kedib between the spouses. This is not with regards, and what is not intended here, and is with regards to violating or dropping the right of one of the other, and to lie to one or the other, or to deceive the other one in order to prohibit their right and the likes like this. Then this is not permissible. then this is not permissible. Likewise, if it is related to them and somebody else, this is not permissible. So long as the affair is related to them only, and it's with the situation between the two spouses only, and this doesn't go outside of their situation, you know, like he would praise her or she would praise him, or the likes like this, but in reality, they would not really be praising them. They're only doing that to flatter them or to keep the company good, and likewise to keep the relationship strong so that their family will be healthy. The relationship and their family will be healthy. Even, for example, if the man did not have a strong desire for her, or she did not have a strong desire for him, so on and so forth, at this time, yani, it will be permissible in this situation. But as for to drop one of their rights and then to deceive them and to trick them, this is not permissible. Or if it's related to the issues of other individuals, likewise, this also is not permissible. This is some of the benefits that ulama have mentioned with regards to when it is permissible to lie in the situations with regards to that. Allah knows best. Wallahu alam. The intent from the permissibility of lying? It's not directly lying. Again, I mentioned that it's not directly lying, but rather it is to make tawriya, where he would say something, but his intention is different from his statement. And this is something that the ulama of hadith, they used to do in the time of the fitna of al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu ta'ala. They used to do this in the time of the fitna of al-Imam Ahmed, whenever the people were claiming that the Quran was created. And many of the ulama of hadith, they were tortured and tried in those days, and they were oppressed in those days. And some of them, they even took the rukhsah to save their life, to say that the Quran was created. And others, they understood this the situation here likewise of a tawriyah. So they would make tawriyah. So, for example, it's been narrated from the Salaf that they would tell him, you know, say the Quran is created, or they're going to harm you, or they're going to imprison you, or they're going to kill you. And so they would say, and they would count with their fingers, and they would say the Zabur, and counting with his fingers, pointing to his fingers, Az-Zabur, Was-Suhuf, Ibrahim, والتورات والإنجيل والقرآن هذه كلها مخلوقة. All of these are created. So the person who's listening, he thinks that he's talking about all these books of Allah Azza wa Jal, but really he's pointing to his fingers, and his intention is that his fingers are created, not the books of Allah Azza wa Jal, not the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, not the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the one who's listening to him, this is what he wants to hear. He wants to hear that man say that the word, that the book of Allah is created. Iyadhan billah. And as for that person who used this tawriyah or these ma'aridh, this is what he did. He pointed to his finger and he said, Az-Zabur, Suhuf Ibrahim, Al-Tawrat, Al-Injil, Al-Quran, all of these are created. But what he intended being by created, meaning his fingers. Likewise, for example, in the case whenever the person is hiding an individual from somebody who wants to harm him or to kill him. Yani he, for example, he would say, so-and-so here. And you could say, Wallahi, and he could point to the room or point to the door or point to the wall. Wallahi, so-and-so is not here. What is so-and-so going to do here? And then just to get that person to leave. But the intention is, of course, that so-and-so, he's not in the door or he's not in the wall. And in this, he has this intention in order to get out of the situation, because he's in between a situation, whether he's going to lie or whether he's going to expose that person and put him in danger. So he doesn't want to expose that person and put him in danger. Likewise, he doesn't want to lie. So he'll use this manner like this, a tawriyah, and he'll point to the door, for example. You mean in here? What is so-and-so going to do in here? And he meaning the door. Of course he's not in the door. He's in the bedroom, under the bed, for example, like this meaning. But another thing that I mentioned also in closing, to clarify that this should not be taken advantage of, and people should not be using this all the time. Especially sometimes some of the children, they learn about this and they try to play with this and they try to lie to deceive their parents and the likes like this. This is not permissible for them to do that. This is not permissible for them to do that. As has proceeded between the spouses, it's not permissible for them to do that if it's going to take their right. is going to, if it's going to take their right, to stop them from getting their right in the likes like this, or an obligation, then this is not permissible. And likewise, for the child to do that to the mother or the father, or to his guardian, and the stuff and the likes like this, some of the children, maybe they listen along, and maybe they hear this, and then they try to apply this to their parents, and then their parents tell them, don't go to this place. And so I wasn't in that place, or whatever the case may be. And he used the ma'ariyah. Whenever he's exposed, they check the child, and they say, well, I thought you said, well, no, I meant kether wa kether, like this, and they try to be slick. This is not permissible, and the children should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the parents should teach their children that this is not permissible. This is not permissible. So this is something that in these instances, and to make tawriyah, it's allowed, and it's good, and it's permissible. But it's not something that a believer would take advantage of all the time, and it would become from his manners and from his conduct that he's always deceiving the people, saying one thing and intending something else. Rather, it would only be used with wisdom and in its proper times and proper places. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Fine, with that, alhamdulillah, these are the issues that I wanted to mention with regards to the affairs of al-kadhib and the dangers of lying and that which is related to that, and also whenever it would be considered permissible and allowed for a person to lie, and even some situations we have seen when it would be obligatory. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we continue in our next class. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.